Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 51 degrees with light rain falling this morning. It's Monday, June 25th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly will vote tomorrow on who will replace outgoing member Terry Blake. Technically, Assembly members could pick anyone, but they're expected to select from among the five people who submitted their names to the municipal clerk's office. The person appointed to replace Blake will begin serving on July 10th. The appointment lasts until the municipal election in October. At that point, anyone could run to fill the remainder of Blake's term in office, which expires in October 2013. The five candidates seeking the appointment are former Assembly members Jack Osment and Bill Payden, former Assembly candidate Michelle Putz, former Police and Fire Commission Chairman Ryan Haig, and Mount Edgecombe High School teacher Matt Hunter. KCAW spoke with all five and asked them to briefly introduce themselves to the public, beginning with Bill Payden, a retired commercial fisherman who's lived in Sitka since 1966.
When I put my name in, there was only two names in, and they were kind of both from the same camp, I guess I'd say, and I thought, you know, it'd be good if the folks on the Assembly had somebody, you know, from a little different standpoint. I'm real concerned about the fact that the tour ships are down, you know, arguably 50%, and that's where a large part of the sales tax that drives our fund, you know, our general fund, it's down, and I'm real concerned about how we're spending money. We're spending money that's coming from the state that may or may not come. So I guess I think that we need to kind of back off a little bit and save a little money.
My name is Michelle Putz. I have lived in Sitka since 2005, and I really enjoy its people, its adventures, everything about it. You know, I think one of the things that I'm very interested in Sitka is trying to figure out how to have good jobs, keep people here, keep money here, and do that in a way that's really sustainable over time, to keep things going in a good way. I think that we have a lot to build on, and I think we have ways to build it in a great way. So I think it's figuring out where to put the money, how to get more money in, but in a way that really makes sense for the community.
My name is Ryan Haig, and I've been in Sitka since 1996, which has been the entirety of my adult life. The things that I am interested in is maybe reviewing our sales tax, because it's sort of a regressive sales tax where there's a limit where high-end purchases aren't taxed, and where people who are never going to make purchases over $1,500 will never see the benefit of that tax cap. And then affordable housing for Sitka so that more Sitkins can become homeowners.
This is Jack Osment. I am a 20-year resident of Sitka. I came to Sitka with my wife as volunteers in mission at Sheldon Jackson College. We started there in 92 and worked there for 10 years. I served 4 years on the Assembly and have basically been a volunteer in various organizations in Sitka since I arrived. Well, I'm interested in these items they've been looking at regarding taxation, increasing revenues, decreasing expenses. We were doing this back, you know, even several years ago when I was on the Assembly at that point. I think there really needs to be some hard looks taken at the exemptions that we have, and what we don't collect, what we might be able to collect. But I think we need to really review our taxation scheme for the town.
My name is Matt Hunter, and I was born and raised here in Sitka. And I've now started a career as a teacher at Mount Edgecombe High School, and I intend to stay here as long as I possibly can. I'd like to make it possible for young people to stay here, to settle here. I have a lot of friends who have come and moved to Sitka and started small jobs or jobs that don't have a lot of benefits, and too many of them have to leave because they get married and they can't get jobs that could support a family, and that's our future that just keeps leaving on us, and it's not good for the long-term health of Sitka. I know that there's almost 9,000 people in this town, and if 1% of them have some idea how to fix that, then we've got about 90 ideas out there that might work.
That was Matt Hunter, and before him, you heard Bill Payden, Michelle Putz, Ryan Haig, and Jack Osmond. All five are seeking an appointment to the Sitka Assembly. A decision is expected to come tomorrow, with the appointee taking office on July 10th. State biologists say low returns of king salmon to Alaska are likely the result of problems in the ocean, not freshwater. Department of Fish and Game biologist Tom Vanya says that freshwater issues tend to be isolated to particular drainages. He says widespread failures are tied to seawater issues. King salmon leave their breeding streams as smolt and generally spend 3 to 4 years in the ocean. Low returns this year are causing state regulators to restrict fishing throughout the state. Vanya says the cause of the return problem has not been identified, but it's been building for at least 5 years. And while other parts of Alaska are seeing disappointing returns of king salmon, southeast Chinook runs have been coming in close to expectations. It's a mix of king salmon swimming through the panhandle this time of year. Some are making their way back to rivers in Oregon and Washington. Others are returning to the Stikine River near Wrangell or the Taku River near Juneau. Another 100,000 kings are expected to return to the region's hatcheries. Bill Davidson, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Regional Salmon Management Coordinator, says in general, southeast king returns have been good.
I'm not seeing an overall trend of poor returns or anything like that. I think the Taku is one run that did not come in as expected, but the Stikine is slightly down, and it's really too early to tell on the hatchery returns. And of course, as far as coastwide abundance, I think the July 1 opening is going to tell us a lot about how the king runs are doing.
July 1st is the start of the first summer troll opening targeting wild king salmon. Expected to last 8 to 10 days. Until then, trollers can continue fishing in spring openings that target hatchery kings. Fish and Game projects the region-wide spring season troll catch will top 26,000 kings, a little lower than in recent years. The harbor system in Ketchikan needs work, and voters there will decide tomorrow whether to borrow $5 million to fix it. Officials say the bonds will help the city's chances of getting an additional $5 million or more to pay for needed harbor projects. KRBD's Leila Carey takes us onto the floats.
You can see this finger here. Here's one of the fingers. It's listing probably at about a good 10 degrees out there, and the piling, quite a bit of diameter is gone on those old wood piles.
For about a decade now, the state of Alaska has been giving its dilapidated harbors away. More than that, the state has paid municipalities, such as the city of Ketchikan, to take over harbors within their communities. City Port and Harbors Director Steve Corporon says the state was supposed to take care of major maintenance of its harbors, with municipalities running them and performing minor maintenance. However, he says, the state didn't put much money into them.
That was one of the reasons that they were divesting themselves of them, because they basically reached the end of their serviceable life. The state felt bad about that, as bad as states can feel. And they tried to sweeten the deals by putting in some deferred maintenance money as part of the transfer agreement. But it didn't even come close to being enough to do the work that needed to be done.
Corporon says the city has used up all the state's deferred maintenance money, with help from grants, to finish three phases of a four-phase harbor improvement effort. About $10 million worth of projects remains. One of the projects in the bond package would replace and expand the launch and two floats at Bar Harbor. There's also a complete overhaul at Hole in the Wall and new ADA accessible ramps at each harbor. Expanding the Bar Harbor boat launch will take some pressure off during the busy summer season.
This time of year it gets especially busy, especially if there's four or five cruise ships in, because we'll have 10 to 15 duck boat launches and recoveries right in the middle of everything.
The new Bar Harbor floats will replace structures that are about 40 years old.
You can see, especially the fingers that all these boats are on, The piles are in pretty rough shape, and the fingers are twisted.
There's trees growing out of them?
There are some trees growing out of some of the bull rails.
Corporon says that because of the extreme tides here, 80-foot ramps are needed to meet ADA guidelines. Now, many of the ramps are much shorter.
Even for able-bodied people, 50-foot at a low tide is pretty darn steep. So I've been telling people that, yes, 80-foot meets ADA guidelines, but it is not going to benefit just ADA people. It's going to benefit everybody that has lugged all their gear down to their boat or up or bringing their catch home at the end of the day on a 50-foot ramp at low tide. They are going to see a huge benefit.
Corporon says Hole in the Wall is in horrible shape and much of that harbor needs to be replaced.
You go out there and the structure underneath the floats is getting so soft that it is, some of the wood is literally being squished up through the holes, kind of like pink slime.
Whether or not the bond vote passes, Corporon says harbor rates will go up. He says the projects are critical and the city will raise rates either to pay back bond debt or build up a reserve to use as matching funds. If the bond vote passes, he says, the projects will get done faster. Corporon says harbor rates will increase about 7% for each $1 million in bond debt, with a total of about 21% over the next 4 or 5 years. For a standard 24-foot boat, he says, a 7% increase would mean the monthly rate would go up about $4. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for rain likely, highs around 56, southeast winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 54, south winds 10 miles per hour. Tonight, low temperatures around 49 degrees. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.